also recognize that it takes certain kinds of frameworks, structures, systems, even within our own life, to be able to facilitate what we want to be as a church and the kind of things that we want to do. And one of the things we really feel like we've just got to get down in our church, we just have to figure out, is how to have processes in place for growing and developing leaders. And so we really intend to give ourselves to it this year. And I'll tell you kind of in the next few minutes what specifically we would like to accomplish there. And I'm really glad to see that there are kind of new teams coming along to help make things happen in our church. One I was mentioned here, the whole extreme growth with our youth that Guillermo and Aubrey are leading, where I know we've got about a dozen or 15 of our youth really committing themselves to grow and to be leaders, not only for the youth, but also, you know, in the life of our church. Harry's formed a new leadership team to help him in the whole area of our life groups that I believe includes John and Rachel Tan and Brandon and Michelle Coffey and Guillermo and Aubrey Rodriguez. Something we've needed for quite a few years now, and we've now formed a prayer task force that's being headed up by Hugh Robinson, along with Lynn Redding, Donna Palandro, Anja Wells, Bob Noctegal, Jared Cuvion, and Christian Burgundo. And they're not focusing on the prayer we do to minister to each other, but they're focusing on our ability as individuals and a church to be praying to God, interceding for the kind of things God wants to do in our lives and do through us. And so they're really hoping to provide resources, encouragement, and start some new initiatives to help us be a lot better at praying as a church. And then, you know, we've been doing Spanish and English for probably 4 years now. But really our desire is to really integrate the people who are here from all different cultures, and to make sure that no matter what your ethnic, racial, cultural background, that you can find a place here in every dimension of the life of the church. So we've kind of made a little change this year from just having a Hispanic task force, and now we have what we're calling an ethnic diversity team. And that includes me, Marvin Westry, Nellie De Leon, Megan Breed, Leslie Mayan, and Geneva Ree. And so we've really just met recently and are getting to work to really help lead us in this arena as a church. You know, what I realize, and I think you understand too, is that leadership is essential. And we're not a church that, you know, believes that pastors and other leaders are more important than everybody else. But we do recognize that leadership is something God has given to the church in order to enable the church, which is all of us, to be able to carry out the mission that he's given us. And just a couple examples here, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. It says, so Christ himself, and I thought that's important that it says it that way too. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that, and this is important too, the body of Christ may be built up, both in its qualitative life and in the number of people who get to be participants in Jesus' life, in the life of the church. So the leaders are here to equip so that we, you as the people, are actually doing the ministry that brings other people into life with Jesus. Acts 14, 23, it says, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting, committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. And it's something very similar in Titus 1:5. It says, the reason, this is Paul speaking, the reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. And so we see that as churches are planted and established, it's recognizable immediately that there need to be leaders who will serve those churches by supporting, encouraging, and equipping so that the church can be all that it needs to be. And then I notice in the Gospels, there's kind of like another level to this. Matthew 5, 14 and 16, and I know I've spoken about this before, and he says, speaking to God's people, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, and listen to this, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others. I really believe that to be a disciple of Jesus is to be a leader in some capacity, because at its heart, leadership is influence. And if you have Christ in you, he says, then you are the light of the world. And the whole idea is that you put your light in a place where it actually shines light for others. You know, and in the example here, he says it shines light for everyone in the room. It's not enough for you to have light on the path that you're walking. By the very nature of your life in Christ, your light is to shine on the path of other people's lives so that they can see better where God is, who he is, what he's doing, and what he's doing in their life, and then be able to follow him. So I think at one level, all of us are called by Jesus to be leaders, exercising influence for the benefit of others. Now, there are different kinds of leadership, and I really don't want to use the term levels, because it's not like, well, they get higher or better. It just kind of operates differently in different arenas and functions a little differently in our lives. And I want to give you a few examples. By the way, there's leadership by example. And all that is that there are people willing to strive to live a life of faith and virtue and service in a way that as other people observe your life, they'll think, I want to do that. I want to be like you. I want to do what you're doing. I want to live life like you're living for God in the same manner. And by your very example, you end up exercising leadership because your example serves as an influence. And people say, I'm changing what I'm doing. I'm going in a different direction, all because what I've seen in you. There's leadership as mentoring. And just in general, I would say it's people who are intentional. It doesn't just happen as a result of the life you live, but people who are intentional in influencing others in the kind of life that people are living, so that you see others around you, you see what they need, you see what's going on, you see their potential, and you say, I want to get in their life. And I want to get in their life in the way that I can help them by coming alongside with the quality of their life and being able to live out faithfully what God is doing. There are also leadership of groups. And it does require a little bit more of us, but it's people who will accept responsibility for small and large groups of people. Groups that help each other grow and together accomplish shared goals inspired by God. So it's not just me being an example to you. It's not just me getting in your life. It's me accepting responsibility for a small group of us or a large group of us to accomplish goals that God has given us. And we know that we can do it together, even though we won't be able to do it alone. And I realize that requires more of us to do that. And then the last one, I'm just calling it leadership by extension. And what I mean is that we need people who are willing to go out to actually leave us as church planters, as pastors, and as longtime cross-cultural workers who can make the life we're experiencing possible for a whole nother group of people. And in fact, we need, and we've been praying, we need 5 church planting teams so that we can send out a church plant every 2 years over the next 10 years, which would equal 5 church plants. We need leaders. We need team members. We need you to be praying. Are you, you know, those people? And are you willing to let us help you prepare yourself and prepare others to be able to go out for that purpose? Here's, you know, some of the kind of people that we need to fulfill these leadership roles. And I could have come up with a longer list, but these are things that, you know, occur to me this week that I thought would be important for you to hear. We need people across the spectrum of age, gender, ethnicity, and economics. We need people who will lead people who love God, people who love the church and people who love the world. And you can figure out what that means, to love the world. We've talked about that. We need people who are committed to learning as a lifelong goal. If you're going to be a leader, you've got to learn. You've got to read. You've got to take advantage of resources. You've got to get around others who are growing. We need people who are not satisfied to live well, but are compelled to bring others with them. That's almost like at the key of leadership. Wherever you're going, whatever you do it, a leader says, I don't want to do it by myself. I don't want to go there by myself. I want to bring other people with me and for us to go together. That's what leaders do. We need people who see leadership as a privilege and as a sacred trust that God gives them, and in a sense, the church gives them. We need people who are willing to sacrifice some of their freedom, who are willing to make commitments, who will accept responsibilities and will struggle through the tensions that being a leader creates in your life. Being a leader doesn't give you more privilege. In a way, it gives you less privilege. It gives you more influence, and so it gives you more responsibility. It takes more of your life, and so there are more commitments that you have to make to actually serve in this way. We need people who are willing to do that and willing to live that way. And so what we're hoping to do, and I can only give it to you in a broad sense right now, because this year we'll tool this out, in the next 12 months, we will develop processes, systems, where we can help people grow with the result that they will be leaders or influencers in their life, in our church, and in other churches as leaders, planters, pastors, and missionaries. You know, I think we've done a lot of this, but it's like we figure it out each time as we come into the life of a leader, and we can't do that. We need to know what we're doing, be prepared, have things in place, so that as leaders are identified and are offering themselves, we have a way to help them grow and to be better leaders. And our commitment is to get that figured out during this year, and then for a bunch of us, you know, to be part of that process. Which, it kind of seems, maybe taking a quick left turn here, but as part of the structure or context for being the kind of church we want to be, we've really come to the conclusion that we need to start this year renovating our facilities so that we can have a more hospitable place and a place that actually allows us to carry out the ministry that we want to do better. And I thought, you know, I don't want to leave it all to the next generation or whoever takes my place. You know, I'm already 59. I'm going to be 60 coming this year. I'm not going to be the senior pastor forever. Why make somebody else like do this? Let's do it. We can do it. We love this church. A lot of great things are happening in this church. How about if we take on some of that burden and get as much done as we can so that the next group has a great place just to take over and carry out the vision that God's given them? And you know, I've been saving money for a long time for us as a church, and we realize it's time to spend the money that we've saved. And we've managed to save almost about $900,000. And we want to spend that. Yeah, you can applaud. That's great. And we really, actually, we've already begun doing things, looking at things, pulling things together. We want to spend that money wisely and get the most that we can from it. We won't have to go in debt, and we won't burden, you know, a future generation. I knew it will be a challenge. You know, you take a lump sum of money and say, that's what we got. Now let's figure out how to use it. So I asked, you know, Harry Fritzenschaft, Jill Lively, and Tricia Herron to work together along with Carol Vick, who is our architect, and kind of duke it out. Come up with the best ideas, the best possibilities, and figure out how to use this money. There'll be differences of ideas and opinions and sense of priorities in that group of people, but that makes me feel like we're going to come up with a better way to use the money. And they have been working it out for a number of months, actually. As one person said, laboring, it's time-consuming, it was tedious, and at times even frustrating. But I want to say I really appreciate the hours that those folks have given. I don't even know how many hours, but it's probably in the hundreds, just to try to come up with a plan. And so they have come up with a plan that we are going to begin to pursue. And so when you see those guys, I don't know, is Tricia, are you here? And Harry and Jill and Carol, in fact, is part of our church. She's right back here. Thank them for all the work they've already done on this. And Harry's going to come and talk to us just a little bit about the plan. And then he's going to actually talk about our finances. So, take care.
I want to talk to you a little bit about what we're going to do in this first phase. And my dear colleague and friend Jill is going to help me out in the back. We want to start over on the far east of our complex at our children's building. That building historically has had a lot of water issues in it. I think it's finally called the river flows through it. And so one of the first things we're going to, actually that work is broken up into three pieces. One is some civil work where we're going to tie in roof drains to some underwater piping, some catch basins, and actually run the stormwater across the parking lot out to the closest storm drain. And then the second piece of the work on that building is we're going to actually reskin, so to speak, the east and the north walls with some applied stucco panels, which will look similar to those that are found on the south side of the wall. And then the third part of that work is we're going to do some minor reconfiguration of some interior partitions to make a better and more secure check-in area for our children. And in round numbers, that cost is going to be right at about $95,000. The next thing, kind of just moving west, is our cafe building, and that's going to be a complete regut and remodel. And the biggest change in that building is, in fact, we saw the pictures of the elevator, and I said, where'd they get those? But we're going to have a three-stop elevator in this building, which will be able to bring folks to the second-level balcony in this building, as well as the third floor of this building. Many of you may not realize we have a third floor in this building. It's above this ceiling. It's suspended from the roof. It's actually the biggest chunk of space we have on the campus, but because of a lack of elevators, and also the fact we're going to rezone the air conditioning on the third floor so we can use those classrooms, which are huge, independently of having to cool the auditorium down here. So that's going to be a complete regut and remodel. At the end of this, we'll have a coffee shop ready space, and that's going to be the most expensive chunk of work. And between those two things, the elevator connections to the second and third floor and the regut and remodel of the cafe, that'll be about $610,000. And then we want to move over here to our foyer area and our art hallway, which is this hallway right immediately outside these doors. And we're going to have fresh paint, fresh carpet, and fresh lighting to kind of give everything a fresh facelift. And that's about $30,000. And then our favorite stairwell, which is through these exit doors, through this hallway, where our business office entrance is, that stairwell is actually part of the original church building, the oldest building we have, and that was actually stairs to the choir loft or balcony. And I know we hate to see those go, so if you'd like them reinstalled at your house, let us know. But we're going to replace that stairwell, and that's going to be about $35,000. And then we're going to move across the parking lot over here on our North Hill side to our storehouse and do some basic updating to the kitchen. And also what used to be called our pantry room is going to be renovated and become our new youth lounge. And the idea is not only to make it more efficient and effective and nice for our youth on Tuesday nights, but also so that it will be able to be utilized for their Sunday school classes on Sunday morning. Now, those things I've just described to you cost around $880,000, and that's what we're calling phase one. And in round terms, that'll take about 2 years to complete. Now, after doing that, though, we wanted to give some attention to if we had more money, or if some of us wanted to say, wow, I'm just so excited by this, we'd just like to give something, what would we do with the next pot of money? Our next phase, what we're calling phase two, would be to update our parking lots, both our Norhill parking lot and our Michelle parking lot, repaint all the exterior buildings, refurbish all our awnings, and in round terms, we're looking at about $200,000 for that. Then we would come to the second floor of this, what we call Annex 1, this building where the offices are, and basically put in a two-stop elevator there so you can come in the office entrance and up to the second floor, and we'll update the offices, and we'll also reconfigure that a bit so we can have a more efficient kitchenette break room, a training room, and a conference library room there. And in round terms, that's going to be about $350,000. And then from there, we'd like to come to this building and the restroom up here on the second floor and the restrooms on the third floor. We want to completely update. The third floor, we want to completely update with new paint and new carpet. And in round numbers, that's about $230,000. And then we'd like to go back to the storehouse, completely update our restrooms and do some things with lighting and new awning and et cetera. And that's going to be about another $110,000. And then our last phase, we're calling phase six, would be back in here and would upgrade our auditorium at about $200,000. And so all told, that's about just under $2 million. It's $197,000. And this is what we're looking at for the next 10 years. And then Michael and I are going to retire when this is all done. So, but so anyhow, yes. When the final coat of paint is on everything, then we'll have other leaders in place by then, and et cetera. All right, I'm going to hold any questions that you have for just a moment. I know time is important, and I'd like to kind of segue into our finance explanation. You have the inserts before you, which I really appreciate Jill's help this year. You have the inserts. Again, if you're new to our church, the way we deal with finances here is they're very open and appropriate. If you want to know anything, just ask me. I just need time to do that. So the first thing we're going to just look at is the balance sheet, but actually with Jill's help is we provided a little summary. I think the most important thing on the balance sheet, if I were you, would be where are we going to get this money to pay for this stuff that we describe we're going to do in phase one over the next 2 years. And so I just want to draw your attention to the summation of our current CD total, which is $525,000, our general checking account, which is right at $180,000, and our savings account, which is just a little over $195,000. And those three things together is that's what totals $900,000. And obviously the thought is I don't want to have no money in the checking account, but the sense is that we have the money right now that is available for us to do the next 2 years of work. And, of course, we're anticipating that cash flow and other things will carry those. So I think that's the most important thing to show you on the balance sheet. And then if you'll flip over that sheet on the back side, I know it's very, very summary. That's actually, that one sheet probably summarizes 10 pages of detail. And I'm sure there's probably somebody here that has a detailed question. I'm happy to respond to it. If it's not on here. But the main thing I wanted you to see on the income side is obviously the major things that fund our budget are our regular offerings and then our missions offerings and our mercy offerings. Now, on the purpose of the slide, you'll see Advent Conspiracy is not on there because Advent Conspiracy is treated as when we do Advent Conspiracy, whatever comes in for it goes out for it. So we don't budget that. That's an in and out transaction, but basically between what came in 2011, 2012 versus what we're budgeting is a very slight, very conservative 1.8% increase. And that budget, basically, when Michael and I and the PC start working on this, the first things we look at is what do we think our income's going to be? And so this is the first thing that we apply all the history we have and common sense and look at. So that's on the income side. And then under the expenses, what we showed you there was basically we group our accounts into what we call kind of our all-church accounts, which would be anything that Michael is leading, anything that Jessica is leading with worship and arts. That's kind of all-church. Then healing and member care is basically everything that's under David's ministry leadership. Next generation would be our youth and children. It also has the communications area that Jill is over. And then operations and life groups is kind of everything else and that I'm responsible for. And so just comparing, again, what we spent in 2011, 2012. Now, what is not in there, you see the caveat subtitle. It does not have Advent conspiracy expenses in there because, again, those kind of come in and go out. And it doesn't have anything we spent this last year on capital projects, which was about $35,000 because, again, those aren't budgeted in our cash flow. Those come out of that money I just showed you on our balance sheet. But if you compare what was expended in 2011, 2012, and what we're budgeting for 2012, 2013, we have a very modest 0.6% increase budgeted. Okay, at this moment, if you have any questions, I can answer. And if you think of something later, just email me. I'll try to. The only thing, as I'm sure you can appreciate, is I don't respond to any kind of detailed payroll questions. But other than that, I'll either answer anything, and I'll find out the answer for you. This church is very open the way we handle our money. We always have been, and we feel like God has blessed us accordingly. So,
here we are at the end of our service this morning, and we have done fantastic. We are within our time frame. We're like amazing. So let me do a really quick segue here. Can I invite the prayer team up to the front? Is it okay to talk about like renovations and money and leadership and then pray for each other? We do that? All right, good. Come on, prayer team. Why don't you come on up to the front? In fact, you know, this whole concept of being naturally supernatural, we know that you don't have to create a certain kind of environment for God to be present in a loving and powerful way where he wants to do things in our lives. He's been here the whole time and open to us and available to us. And we like as our normal practice before we like actually leave for the day is for you to have an opportunity to receive prayer from others. I know we come with all kind of issues going on in our lives, and so we just want to do that. Why don't you all stand up, and I'll pray a blessing over you, and we'll be free to go. In the name of Jesus, who loves you and has given his life for you, may you experience that love in your hearts. May you see his grace at work in every part of your life. May he give you confidence and courage to be faithful to him and to speak his word to those who need it. The Lord is with you. Thank you. Appreciate you guys. Thank you for bearing with us today, and please get prayer before you go.